When the art day gets rough, you just gotta keep on punching. And here's your Thunder Punch Daily with Jersey Drozd.
Hey, it's me, Jersey, and it's time for your Thunder Punch Daily, the show I record not so daily, sharing a few thoughts from the mind of a cartoonist. And it's been a couple days since my last update, and I just got to say that after my decision to set Fridays as my drawing day, I have felt so much better about life. I feel like a great weight has been lifted off of my shoulders. And finally, I have a day on the calendar where I can be assured of drawing time. As a matter of fact, I went ahead and posted to Google Plus my proclamation that I'm going to be not scheduling anything on Fridays anymore in order to make sure that I have drawing time. And Brandon Dayton of BrandonDayton.com followed up with, boy, I wish you could do more than just Friday. And I looked at my calendar and I realized that after August 24th, I have nothing scheduled on Thursdays for the next couple of months. So I said, hey, why the heck not? Why not make it Thursdays and Fridays? So I quickly went into my Google Calendar and I created events in there saying, do not schedule anything drawing day on Fridays, Thursdays and Fridays in perpetuity. And funny enough, within 24 hours, I got a call from a teaching job, the Ann Arbor Art Center, and they were calling about my fall schedule, about figuring out when my classes were going to fall. And they said, hey, we want to have your Teen Graphic Novel Academy run on Thursdays. And I got to happily say to them, oh, I'm really sorry. I can't schedule anything on Thursdays anymore. Can we do it on Wednesdays? And they said, well, yeah, I think we can do that. And I dusted my hands proudly and said, I did it. I fought my first battle. It was a small one, mind you, and it wasn't much of a battle, but it felt really good to protect a couple of days in my schedule to say, no, these are days for drawing, and nobody else can have those days. So while this will be my first week putting this into practice, it still feels mighty good to actually put that, you know, to make that commitment and to have to actually, you know, negotiate with people around those days from now on. And I feel confident that I'm going to do that. But anyway, that's not what I'm here to talk about. I'm here to talk about the Plus, the Google Plus. And this is the place that I wanted to bring this discussion or this essay today, because I want to actually talk about it and not just post something that is clearly meant to be link bait around all the buzz, pardon the expression, people who follow what Google does, all of the attention that Google Plus is getting right now. But having used it for a few weeks now and watching how some people use it and seeing some of the success stories come out of it and seeing some of the complaints that are coming out of it, I feel like I can make a preliminary assessment of what's going on with this thing for those who haven't tried it yet. And I think also to answer some of the pre-cynicism that's surrounding this thing. Here we go again, another social network. Let me start by saying, yes, here we go again, another social network. It's one of many. Look at all the different ways we have to interact with the public and get the word out about our work nowadays. We've got Tumblr. We've got Posterous. We've got Twitter. We've got Facebook. We've got things like, what are some of the other ones out there? Diaspora? I'm trying to think of some other ones. There was one a couple years ago called Verb, V-I-R-B. Does anybody remember that? I wonder if it's still around. I guess I could check. But in any case, yes, this is one of many different ways. What was that one? That one that you could actually launch on your own site. It was like software you could download and run on your own site. Now I don't remember the name of it. I want to say it was Ping, but it can't be Ping because that's Apple's thing. But in any case, there's a lot of these services popping up all the time. And so hooray for us. We have choice in all this. But something about Google Plus grabbed the imaginations of people. And I'm guessing it has something to do with a sense of malaise about Facebook and the fact that Twitter is now considered to be internet old. What is it? Been around since 2007. You know, that's a long time in internet years. So we've been waiting for something new. We're hooked on what's novel, what's unique, what's new, right? It's a perfectly human way to behave. And we shouldn't bash people too hard for feeling that way. I was excited about it. I still am excited about Plus. Why am I excited about Plus? Well, for me, it is, you've read this elsewhere, I'm sure. You've been inundated with plus articles about what makes it work. But for me personally, what I'm most excited about it is the nuanced and very granular way you can control conversation. I can make a post to my plus account that is only shared with people who I think will care. It is not about privacy to me because I'm always very careful about what I share and what I don't share. And as a matter of fact, here's where I'm going to hopefully remember to get to is that Plus, if anything, has made me more cautious about what I share and what I don't share, even though it is very controlled what is being shared with whom. But there were a couple success stories that came out. Ryan Estrada is a great example. If you are on the Plus, or if you're thinking about joining it, follow him and just see how he does it, because Ryan Estrada came in and just took Google Plus by storm. Now, Ryan Estrada is of ryanestrada.com. He's a very well-known cartoonist. By no means super famous, but he's well-known. And he makes a living drawing comics, which is something we can all admire and aspire to. But he came in and he just suddenly just locked up this sort of niche of being the go-to guy to find out how to use Google Plus. Another guy, Eric Orchard, Inky Bat on Twitter, he came in and cleaned house by fulfilling a need. And what Eric Orchard did was he saw the opportunity. Google Plus was brand new. There's all these people who are just joining it in the first open field test. And he said, hey, I'm opening up commissions to draw you your own avatar for Google Plus, your own profile pic. And he apparently, I don't have any numbers to back this up, but he said he made, you know, quite a bit of extra money in that first month doing commissioned profile pictures. Ryan Estrada came in and quickly became one of the most popular people to follow because he started making a whole bunch of comics and infographics on how to use Google Plus. So they capitalized on being early adopters, first arrivals, to grab a huge audience and a lot of mindshare by fulfilling a need when it was really hot. Unfortunately, these success stories led a lot of people to come into it going, this is the way to get eyes on our stuff. Come to Plus, you'll get eyeballs for your comics. And what that's meant is in recent days, in the last week or so, Plus has been flooded by a ton of cartoonists who are doing what I've been affectionately referring to as the look at the thing I did posts. Now, Plus is this weird amalgam or weird middle ground between Twitter and Facebook. On Facebook, there's no character limit. You can post as long as you want, but as long of a post as you want. I think there may be a character limit, but you can post long posts along with your link. Here's the link to my YouTube video, and here's a couple paragraphs of me talking about what's in this YouTube video. Twitter, obviously, we know, 140-something characters. That's all you get. So your link is maybe 20 characters. Now you're only left with 120 characters to say what it is that the link is. So brevity, right? And there's certain kinds of tricks and nuances to creating an enticing lead line or log line or whatever you want to call it for getting people to click that link. But you can't waste people's time too much with those. They can easily browse past it. Whereas with Google+, since it's more like Facebook with a much larger character limit, you know, you can post hundreds and hundreds of characters. You can easily clog up a feed by posting several paragraphs worth of stuff along with your link. But, and you can also, you can reshare just like you can on Twitter. You can retweet, reblog as it were, following, like if you want to use Tumblr language, reblog other people's posts to say, hey, this is worth looking at, check it out. And I won't go into it any further than that about best practices, because, or even what like the difference between a plus one and a reshare and a comment are, because if you just go into Google Plus, follow Ryan Estrada, he did infographics on how that works. Like what's the difference between a plus one and a reshare and et cetera. But in any case, your feed can, if you're following more than, you know, 100 people, your feed can easily get clogged up with look at the thing I did posts. And it's funny to me that, well, it shouldn't be funny now that I think about it, but I'll just finish my sentence. It's funny to me that this keeps coming around and round and round. I remember back in 2003 when I was first getting into doing webcomics, reading forum posts. And back then, there was no social media. Everybody was doing HTML sites. Content management systems were relatively new. And there was all sorts of discussion going on all over the place of how do you get your webcomic found? How do you get it seen by a lot of people? And the common advice given out was go into other comics forums, go into comics creators forums, go into fan forums for other comics, and get engaged in the conversations there. Don't just post links to your stuff. Like a common thing people would do is they would listen to a conversation going on in a forum thread, and they'd say, this reminds me of this comic that I did. You should check out my comic. And that feels very false. That feels very forced, and people can see through that a mile away, that that's just you plugging your stuff. People, when they're in a discussion, when they're in a community, they want you to participate in that community before you start handing out your business cards. This is going back to advice that I've reiterated many times in the Art and Story podcast as given by Tim Street. One Tim Street on the Twitters, Tim Street on Google+, where he said that, you know, social media is like a cocktail party. You don't just go to a cocktail party and hand out your business card to everybody. You go in, you listen to the conversations, you evaluate if you have something to contribute to that conversation, then you get involved. And then it will come up that you make stuff, but it will come up in a natural way. And people, once they find out that you are interesting and helpful, they will follow the link to your stuff. This is the summary statement that I've come up with for the internet and social media, and I'm probably appropriating this from other sources, but I'm putting it in my own words, is that the currency of the internet, if we accept the premise that the currency of the internet is links, people linking to you, people sharing the links to the stuff that you do, the only labor you can do to gain internet currency is to be interesting and helpful. And this is obviously very, very important on something like Twitter, where you only have 140-something characters and you only have a limited amount of space to be interesting or helpful, but you have at tweets and follow-up. You can have conversations on there. But all this excitement about the success stories of guys like Ryan Estrada on Plus have led all these cartoonists to come in and just do the same thing they've always done, going back to 2003 when people were having the discussion about webcomics forums. Don't go in there and just post a link to your stuff. What are people doing? They're going in and just posting links to their stuff. And it's already starting to annoy existing Plus users. Existing Plus users. Like those of us who have been there for like 2 weeks longer. Like we're like the old guard or something. You know, that in itself is silly. It's a new service. The service hasn't been fully ironed out. New features are being rolled out all the time. New functionalities are being ironed out. So it's still a very, you know, embryonic service. And I don't even think the public rollout has happened yet. I think it's supposed to happen on July 30th. And a lot of people are predicting gloom and doom. Once the general public gets in here, it's just going to be a bunch of baby pictures. It's going to be a bunch of look at what I did posts. But that said, you know, there's the circle management tool. You can actually manage the way your feed looks by putting people into appropriate circles. A lot of front-end organization to manage the way your feeds look. And I figured out a way to do it. I posted it on my Plus in a thread I was having, a conversation I was having with Casey Van Heist, where I created a prioritized top five circles, because Plus only displays the first five of your circles. And I created a prioritized list of, here's the people I know who provide me the value that I'm looking for out of this thing. What am I looking for personally? Just as an aside, I'm there to actually have the conversations about comics that I want to. The stuff you hear me talking about on Art and Story, on Comics Are Great, the stuff you hear me talking about here, the topics that really matter to me, and I've created circles for the people who I know I won't bore to death with that stuff. People who will respond to questions and wonderings that I have on those subjects. And then number six and on are, you know, they're more general ones. Here's like all the people I know in comics, people that I've interacted with at one point or another on Twitter or Facebook or wherever else. And all I have to do is just tab between those first five circles and I can get the rich content that I'm really looking for. But then if I just hit the stream tab, I can see everything and I can quickly dip in and see what everybody else is talking about. So I have a little bit more control that way. So I think that Plus has a little bit more staying power because of that, because it's the noise that's inevitable on this service is something you can control. For those who use Twitter in any kind of like robust way, you no doubt have used Twitter lists, and I use them too. I created lists for, here's like the five people who I most want to hear from when I wake up in the morning. And I'll just look at that list first before I look at the full stream. It's the same kind of control in Plus, but now you can create posts that are only shared with those streams too, as well as shared with the public. So it's a little bit more nuanced, a little bit more controlled. But all that said, I think that we need to remind ourselves that if anything, this new service that is so exciting and so many people are signing on for, and there's a lot of energy around it, demands or presents us with the opportunity to evaluate how we share and to think hard about how we post what we post. Think about how to make it something that is meant to be engaged with and interacted with. Simply walking into a room and saying, look at the thing I did, doesn't really get you much attention unless you're speaking to a pre-established audience. If you have an audience that's there waiting to hear what's the latest thing you did, sure. But when you don't have a character count limit, when it is designed to offer engagement and conversation, then perhaps it would be in your best interest to post things that invite interaction and conversation. Now, that's not to say that I haven't done my share of posts saying, look at the thing I did, or look at the thing I'm about to do. Here's an upcoming thing. I just did a post recently where I was saying, hey, I'm going to be at the Ann Arbor Art Fair Townie Party. I have a booth there for the for Kids Read Comics, where I'm going to be leading comics demos and little hands-on comics workshops from 5 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Monday, July 18th. I'll share that news. Hey, everybody, look, I'm going to be here. You might want to, if you're going to be in the area, stop by. I'm giving away free comics. That's one thing. And that's not really meant for a discussion, but I temper what I post on there with things that are also meant to invite discussion. I'm asking the public to interact with me. The other thing is, I think about Ryan Estrada and the success story of what he achieved. And what he did is, on day one, he walked in, looked at what he saw how it could be used, and offered, I don't want to say advice, but he created content that was meant to educate, to help other people use the service as well. He saw what its potential was, and he created really fun infographics and mini comics and galleries of comics to point people at the usefulness of this thing so that people could walk in and be a little bit more knowledgeable about how to use it. And consequently, he got a lot of followers out of that. Why did he get a lot of followers? Because people got a good feeling from the interaction they got from him, both in terms of his follow-up posts, but also because he was sharing freely useful and interesting content. Those are the two questions I ask myself before I post anything to these social media things. Is it useful or is it interesting? I go back to something Ryan said on the Comics Are Great podcast. I think it was episode 17. He was on with Janie Ho. Great episode. One of the most downloaded episodes yet of the show that we did. And it's no surprise because it was full of great content. One of the things Ryan said is every time he posts, he has to evaluate, is this worth 10 seconds of somebody's time? If it's an hour video, is it worth an hour of somebody's time? Really ask yourself that question honestly. And if nobody had heard of the thing, then can you create an intriguing log line to get somebody to want to click it? It's not enough to just say, look at the thing I did. All you're doing then is just saying, look at the thing I did amongst literally tens of thousands. Well, actually, I think Plus has 10 million people using it now, supposedly. So, you know, millions of people saying, look at the thing I did. So it's not, before anybody gets like flummoxed or frustrated with this kind of talk, it's not a popularity game, and it's certainly not about being funnier than the guy next to you, but it is about being interesting in your own way. And so my advice, and this would be the thing that I would put on Google Plus if I wanted to participate in this kind of, you know, I guess where I'm going with this is, all this talk about how to use Google Plus has been how the functions work, how to post photos, what the like button is, things like that. But nobody's really addressed how to be engaging and how to be nuanced in your approach in this thing. And I don't think that's something that you can summarize in a bullet pointed list. But I can point you to this, is go back to that idea of being interesting and being helpful. And think about Google Plus, the creators have explicitly said they want to create software that mirrors what real life friendships and conversations feel like. And if that's the case, then we should evaluate the rules of engagement in real life socializing and real life cocktail parties, right? You don't go up to a group of people talking and just say, hey, look at the thing I did. You go up, you listen, you evaluate what's being said. Can you contribute? Then contribute. And if the opportunity arises to mention some of your stuff, then by all means do so. But you don't lead with that. And it's not about concealing things. It's not about playing some kind of social game. It's just about giving people a chance to know you before you start pushing your stuff on them. Okay. So it sounds very Jane Austen and very rigid and architectural in the way these social connections happen. But it doesn't have to be. It's just a matter of recognizing the fact that unless people get a chance to get to know you, they're probably not going to be as eager to click your link. Does that make sense? I don't even know why I'm asking that. You can't answer. You can, but I can't hear you. So anyway, those are a few of my thoughts on engaging on these social media sites. And I think this goes for Twitter, Facebook, everything. But the Google Plus thing has kind of brought it back up again. And it's astonishing that every time a new service rolls out, we go through this again and again and again. And there's always going to be this big group of people who hear the words, wow, I'm getting a lot of downloads or a lot of traffic from this new service. A fleet of people come in and just blast it with their links without understanding that, no, you also have to be a person too. You have to be a human being. People want to interact with human beings. And so there's a way to put it. I think that that's a nice summary statement, is go in and be a human being first and then post your links. Because any bot can go into a social networking site and post links to things. And I think when interacting with software, we crave that human experience, that human interaction, knowing that a person put their voice behind this thing. And this is your opportunity to put your voice on it. I just did a class at the Ann Arbor District Library. I'm in the midst of doing my Comics Fundamentals course. And the topic of originality came up. And I can't remember who I was talking about this with. It might have been Rob Stenzinger. I'm not sure. But I said, I went through the whole rigmarole that I've gone into in the past. Like, there is no original story idea. If you came up with a truly original idea, nobody would understand it because it would be outside human experience. So the ideas are not original. Executions are original. Where do the executions come from? From the only original source on this planet, and that's each and every one of us. It sounds dumb, right? Because it sounds really silly in Mr. Rogers to say, like, each and every one of us is special and original, right? But that's the truth of the matter. You bring your voice to it. You bring yourself to this thing, and if you do that, then people will want to interact, people want to engage, and people want to click those links. So there's my little audio essay for today. So who am I? I'm Jersey Droz, jdroz.com, Jersey on the Twitters. Thank you very much for supporting me and Mark and Kevin in this project. We couldn't do it without you. If you want to find me on the Google Plus, I'm just Jersey Droz down there. My account, no, right now they don't have like plus.google.com/username. Probably the simplest way to get there would be to go to comicsaregreat.com or jdroz.com. And in the sidebar, I have a link that says follow along. And there's like four little social media buttons, and Google Plus is on there too. You can click that. Or just search for me online. Search for my name and you'll find my Google profile if you want to see how I've been using it. So I'll be back soon with another Thunder Punch Daily. And until then, remember, everybody.
I was really unhappy when I lost my magic. I was afraid that people wouldn't like me anymore because I couldn't make them laugh or give them magic presents. And then Adam told me something.
You don't have to amuse people or give them gifts to be loved. You're a special person, Orko.
And you know what? You're special, and you don't have to buy presents or be a clown to make people like you. That way you'll know that the friends you make are real friends, that they like you for yourself.